Blog Talk Radio.
Denise Griffiths is your partner in success. Tune in each Friday as virtual assistants, industry expert, web developer, and online entrepreneur Denise Griffiths interviews industry experts from one end of the internet to the other. These expert entrepreneurs freely share their business building knowledge and provide practical guidance that will show you how to build and grow your own very successful business, be it online or traditional brick and mortar. Now, ladies and gentlemen, your partner in success, Denise Griffiths.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to your Partner in Success Radio. Today, I'm chatting with fitness industry entrepreneur Troy Fontana. Troy has been running successful businesses while staying active with his training clients, and in the process, he has helped coach countless fitness professionals to, you know, really pretty heightened levels of success. Nearly 10 years ago, Troy developed and operated his first business, and you know, even though his business was thriving, his health and life had begun to suffer. And listen, we're going to be talking about that because that happens to all of us as entrepreneurs. We just overwork. Troy had become stressed out, overworked, burned out, and he caught himself wondering, is this really what business success is all about? Do I have to kill myself to make it? So knowing that there had to be a better way, he immersed himself in the study of business development, learning from individuals such as Jim Collins, Michael Gerber, and other fitness experts like Todd Durkin, among others. Troy transformed his business, his mind, and his life to accommodate his dreams. And by using a cutting-edge business system, he transitioned from the 12 to 14-hour workday into a career which he has the time freedom and the financial freedom to live the life of his dreams. That's what we all want. We want to help people. We want to be successful. But it's no good if you're on a couch going, oh, gosh, what just happened to me? So Troy now spends his time mentoring personal trainers and successfully consulting business owners to develop unstoppable belief systems as well as real-life success patterns. So good morning, Troy, and welcome to the show. I can't wait to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Denise. Thanks for having me on, and good morning to you.
Thank you. So we're going to be talking about things that all of us, no matter what industry we're working in, we're killing ourselves. We are overworking, and I'm probably somebody that you should be coaching because I work 14, 16, sometimes 18-hour days. It's insane.
Yep.
Don't laugh. It's insane.
Yeah.
And part of it is I think we do it because we love what we do, but you discovered apparently that there has to be a tipping point where you're just working and you're not really getting anywhere. Can you kind of share your story, you know, how you started out and what that tipping point was for you?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, I started out, I had this belief that for me to be significant in life, I had to be successful. And I chased success for quite a while and really, you know, focused on achievement. I had to have the most clients. I had to be the best trainer. I had to have the best business. And I chased after these things, and I worked hard, and all the while, I mean, it was well-intentioned. You know, I was still wanted to help people out, and I gave 100% of my effort and all that. But I really wanted to, you know, just be the best that I could be and grow as much as I could grow. And through this process, I started opening these different training centers, and I spent a lot of my time running back and forth between these training centers. And before long, I found myself just kind of over my head. I had, you know, people who have that entrepreneurial spirit, it's easy for us to say yes to everything. I can do it. Oh, yeah, I'll do it. You know, and yeah. We want to be the ones usually to do it, too. It's like, I'll do it. No, don't worry. I got it. So I went out and I did that. And next thing you know, I wake up one day and I literally had lost 25 pounds. I was green, extremely unhealthy. Yeah, I actually got diagnosed with a chronic condition, ulcerative colitis. It's a, like intestinal condition and all that. And it was just really tough period in my life, and it just flat out had burned out. And so what I did at the time is I retreated, got healthy again, and then I went out and opened my own fitness center. And this was kind of like my own creation, where I put all my energy and my passions into, and it was very beautiful. And next thing you know, I'm in the same place. I'm working hard again. I'm just go, go, go. And I suffer a couple injuries. I go to the doctor, and she tells me that I have severe adrenal fatigue. And I'm like, gosh, you know, I got to change this. I got to restructure everything that I'm doing. And I went on a couple of journeys at that time, took some vacation time, did a lot of journaling, reflecting, and really got back to the core principles of what true success is. And that's what I've discovered today is more about contribution versus than achievement. So I've really been my focus today more on contributing, and it's since rewarded my life quite a bit more.
Mm-hmm. Listen, I'm amazed to hear that story because I didn't know that you had gotten that unhealthy just pursuing the American dream.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a scary story. And here we do. I mean, we tend to do that. And I guess my question is, do you find that women are just as bad about that? Because women tend to take care of everybody else and then take care of themselves later down the road. So do you find that women are really kind of abusing themselves when trying to, build a business?
Yeah, absolutely. I see it.
Yeah.
In my own example, I have a very amazing mother, and my mom has always been an inspiration in my life. She's a superintendent of a school district and extremely hard worker, and I have to constantly remind her, like, gosh, slow down, and I think especially with the female, they tend to want to help everybody. It's about them. What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And, for all of us, we have to take time to do something for ourselves,
Right.
That's why fitness is important, nutrition, all those other types of things stem into taking care of ourselves. Because if we can't do that, we can't help anybody, Your business won't be successful no matter what, right?
You're right. No, you're absolutely right. And I had this thought this morning. You have these random thoughts.
Yeah.
And they pop into your head for a reason. But, I was thinking, I woke up this morning. I have to be honest with you. I woke up exhausted. I really was just tired because I'm doing all the things that you're telling me I should do.
Yeah.
So I went outside. I made a conscious decision to go outside. It's a gorgeous spring day. I went out and I watched the squirrels, and I concentrated on taking some very deep breaths. And I thought, I woke up this morning, and I'll wake up every morning until one day I just don't. So I better make the best out of each and every day that I've got. And with that decision, here I am. I'm back to work, and I'm perfectly happy. But I had to kind of stop and recenter.
Yes. You know what, Denise, you're so right. And one of the things I've learned, too, is and what I do now is I have, a morning power hour. And I go up. There's a hill behind my house. I start my mornings off. I go up there for a walk. I do a little meditation, a little prayer time, just a little, reflection time to kind of get centered. I usually spend, to be honest, the first half hour of the time just thinking and getting these random, silly thoughts, and I got to kind of clear the junk. But once I clear that junk, I get to a nice, centered place, and then I can step back into my office. I can focus, and I think I'm more centered and cored into what I do. The other thing I have to do, just like you just mentioned, is I have to really monitor my energy. Am I burned out right now? That I need to take some time off? I need to reconnect with people? That I need to reconnect with nature? What is that? I really try to pay a lot of attention to that. And even my own business, I remember at one point, I thought, all right, Troy, what I started doing is I started taking one day off a week where I wouldn't do any emails, no phone calls, nothing to do with work. I'd just get out and have fun because I wasn't playing anymore in life. It's important that we play.
Yeah.
I remember making a conscious decision. I'm like, if this costs my business, if it fails, so be it. I'm not going to go through life and not have fun. And sure enough, by taking that day off, I actually became more creative and more energized and actually had more positive things happen, But it was I had to be willing to take that step first, that commitment to, living my best.
People who don't kind of burn with that entrepreneurial fever, who don't wake up every moment that we're awake thinking, okay, what's next? What am I going to do? Oh, that's cool. Oh, wait a minute, that didn't work. I mean, we're always thinking. And we go to sleep and we're thinking. I wake up at 3 in the morning, I grab my notepad and I write down a thought. That's just how our mind, we're just hardwired to do that. And I know for a fact that some people listening to this going, what do you mean you have to teach yourself to have fun? That is a foreign concept. And you're so right. You have to consciously, if you're like you and me and so many people that I know, fun is what we do. We love what we do. This is fun. So going out and playing, you know, a game of basketball, it's like, I can do that later. I'll do that later. So, kind of describe the process where, if you don't mind, for people like me who are just, we don't stop to go do different things. I'll get invited out, and I'll go, well, sure, that sounds like fun. Let me look at my calendar.
Yeah.
You know, you have to learn to get past that. So do you have any, you know, maybe processes that you can help people to just stop working all the time?
It
affects other people, too. Your family's like, hey, remember me? Yeah. Hello?
Absolutely. And I think, you nailed it on the head there. It's just important that we connect the people. It's important we connect with ourselves. And it's kind of having that conscious decision, too, of, okay, a lot of times, like you said, we're so passionate about what we do, so we try to fit a life into a business. It should be the other way around. You should be fitting business into your life, you know. And we have to constantly remind ourselves. And I know my own flaws. I'm very, very aware of that. I know that, hey, you give me a task, I will run through a wall to get it done. But I gotta slow down. I gotta go with the paces. And I actually heard an analogy a friend of mine gave me a while back. I just loved it. And he said, just that you have to go with the paces. And he told me a story of two oxen. And what they do is, you know, oxen, when they plow a field, when they work a field, is they tie an old mature oxen up next to a young immature oxen. Because what it does is the immature oxen wants to take off and run, and it's trying to go, go, go. But if they were to put two young ones together, they'd take off and they'd just tear up this whole field. So they put the older mature one with the younger one, because it wears the younger one out until he learns how to just go with the paces, take the paces. And I find myself as that young oxen sometimes, like, let's go, and I'm running around, do this, because the next thing you know, I'm like, oh, gosh, I'm exhausted.
I know.
You know?
Yeah,
but just kind of slow down, go with the paces, you know. And it's hard. You know, the other thing is when you're going so fast, it's hard to look around. And when you don't look around, you miss the connections, the people, the opportunities, those special moments to reach out and help somebody, you know, connect with someone, spend a little extra time talking to them, whatever it is. And I don't want to do that. I don't want to have a successful business at the fault of that.
I know. And, you know, these, we're talking about things, and I can hear some people listening to this going, what? Why? Really? This is a problem for these people? Really? But it is. It really is. I mean, we get so focused on what we're doing, and we're so passionate about what we're doing, and we're always excited. Even when we're exhausted, we're like, ooh, I found something new I can do. Oh, I had an idea. Oh, my God. And your brain is just sizzling all the time. And we don't really function like people who can just, you know, say, hey, I'm going to go out and take a walk in the park and walk the dog. I'll be back in an hour. It just doesn't occur. We have to actually, I don't know if I'm saying we. I have to plan things like that. I have to say, okay, stop. You know, I've got one little cat, Odalie. She loves to go outside. Now, I don't have outdoor animals. I live in the country. There's too many predators. My animals are indoors with me. Odalie wants to go outside. She will cry and beg at 5:30 every night. So she schedules me. I don't schedule her. I put her in her harness. I put her in her leash. She goes outside and she eats the neighbor's rose petals. Now, if she didn't nag at me, I wouldn't be out there. I'd be working.
Yep.
So, you know, these are things we always have to stop and think, okay, I need to go, you know what, I'm thirsty. I need to go drink water. I mean, even something that simple can be a problem for a true entrepreneur. Which, oh, geez, I forgot to drink water. It sounds silly, but that's how we function.
No, you're right. You know, it's as you mentioned this with your pet, how, you know, she cries to go out and begging you to get outdoors and stuff. And I wonder sometimes our spirit does that too. But our minds, as you said, are so, I'm just like that. I mean, I wake up at 3 in the morning and I can't go back to bed because ideas run through my head. And, you know, so I don't look at my phone for a couple days and I'm, you know, just because I've been going on these projects or whatever. But sometimes, gosh, and I know I struggle with it, but I really try to get to a point where I do listen to my soul. I let it speak and I let it, you know, kind of lead me at times and not always my head, because my head just takes off, man. And it will go until it's just burned out, flat out burned out.
You know? Yeah, exactly. And we do have to kind of train ourselves, which leads me back to how because your story is a fascinating one. I mean, you made yourself sick. So
yeah.
Do you mind kind of sharing some of the details on how you got yourself well again?
Yeah.
Without going into too much detail, can you just tell people what it was that you decided you needed to do and what changes that were imperative to get healthy?
Yeah, well, the first time, it was kind of more of a retreat and reflection. The second time, I learned a lot, and I'll show you with that. But what I did is I took a vacation, I took a week-long vacation by myself. I mean, I was literally, like, it's hard to even explain just how burned out. I was burned out. And with that, you know, I started to get anxiety and just, for whatever reason, it's just everything that comes with the territory of being that burned out and that hyperactive. So I took off and I took a trip down Highway 1, which is along the coast of California. And I went there for a week, and I had no agenda. I was going to a destination actually down by Santa Barbara, but I was going to take however long it took to get there, stay there as long as I wanted. And I traveled down the coast, and I started having these deep emotional reflections and realizing that there's people and situations I had overlooked, and I had got caught too much in just running the race and not even really knowing why, you know. And our emotions move us, so I let those emotions kind of grab me and really push me and charge me into, Troy, you need to make some changes in your life. And I got down to an area by Santa Barbara. I camped outdoors for like a week. I ran through the hills. I remember going hiking and just playing and really had just a lot of reflection. I took notes. I journaled while I was down there. It really just spoke to my soul. And that's where I made the conscious decision. I think we always have to be very intentional about what it is we want out of life. I made the conscious decision that I'm going to enjoy life. I'm going to have more time and freedom. I'm going to spend more time with the people I love. And, you know, no matter what that costs, if I don't grow as much as in my career, whatever, you know, so be it. But I'm going to do these types of things. And like I said, in the long run, it actually added more into my career, and it recharged me, and I came back. But if I hadn't taken that time away to just disconnect, to get some solitude time, I definitely would not be where I am. And it's actually on that same trip that I realized my now today wife, who is pregnant, I realized that I was in love with her, right? So on that trip, we had, at the time, we were good friends. We'd go to dinner. We'd go to church together and whatnot. But on that trip, it just hit me like a ton of bricks. I remember actually crying. I'm like, what am I doing? Like, I got to go back and marry this woman, you know? But it was that time away, that reflection that really changed
right.
me.
It allowed you to slow down and realize what you were running from, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Or where I was running to, and it wasn't the right place.
Right. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you, Troy, I know that you were a fitness trainer, so I'm sure that you had a lot of clients and you were on the go. Look, I have a lot of fitness industry people as clients, you know that. And I mean, the hours that you guys keep and you're in the gym and you're working with people at 3 in the morning, 5 in the morning, 6 in the morning, that's tough. So how did you go from, and you're still doing this, right? I mean, you're still working with fitness clients?
Very limited now. Very limited.
Okay. Okay, yep. So this is where I want to go with you is on this journey. I mean, you started out doing what so many people do. You know, you've got your certifications, you've got your knowledge, you want to share with people. You want to help people get their body into, you know, optimum health or better health at any rate. And I mean but that's all very one-on-one, and you can just do so much in the course of a day with one-on-one clients. And I mean, you just, that's just the way it is. That's the nature of the hours of the day. So how did you go from you know, working with people one-on-one to creating a business? And what did that business look like? And what does it look like now? Because there are so many steps, and I don't want to get off track. I want you to kind of show people how you can take those hours where you're trading your hours for money and build a business, a sustainable business, a business that you're passionate about, and a business that really benefits other people in your industry. That's where I wanted to go with this interview.
Yeah, absolutely, and great question. Yes, and you're right. In our industry, it's very demanding. It's one-on-one. I mean, your full attention and energy is demanded of you, and if you're, you know, a half-decent trainer, you're gonna be given a lot of energy, and it's going to wear you out really quick. And also, we have the pressure of it's active payroll, so if we're not working, we're not making money. You don't get paid time off, things like that. And I was in that same boat. And I had reached my peak as far as training-wise. I just flat out couldn't take any more clients. So I figured the next step would must be to open my business, which I've learned now there's multiple other ways to create income and whatnot through our industry. But at the time, for me, it was to open my own brick-and-mortar facility. So I did that. But I was in the same situation. You know, I'm here, I'm training clients again, and now I've got just a huge overhead, and it's even more stressful and more demanding. So I first looked to leverage my time, and I started training a lot more people in groups. So that allowed people, rather than spending, you know, a larger chunk of money to train one-on-one with me, a lot of people could get in for a smaller chunk and share that cost. So they're able to share the cost of personal training, and it also helped me because I'm getting, you know, a little bit now from all these people versus just one decent-sized amount of money from one person. So I'm able to touch more lives, help more people. They're able to get involved in something they weren't able to before. And I really saw that as a I got that the idea of, I'm like, wow, there's something special there with this group, this small group training. And especially with today's economy, you know, people are looking for that opportunity to save a little money. So we shifted our whole business model to that and started doing a whole lot more small group training. And the other thing was, in our industry, it's more of a pay-as-you-go kind of type thing. And this is more industry-specific, but it still will benefit the entrepreneurs listening. But, you know, it's more of a pay-as-you-go type service. You come in, you pay, you leave, you pay. And we look to create more of a membership base. And we did that without getting into too much detail. We created some different kinds of memberships where people get a certain amount of training sessions per month. And what that did for us was create projectable income streams. And that's a really important word. It's important that we see projections of income. So we're not like, gosh, am I going to have money next month? You know, what's going to happen here? So it was kind of this evolution. Once I, you know, kind of mastered, per se, the art of training, then I got into business, and I felt like I had kind of gotten a good grasp on that. And then my next transition was, you know, I really want to help trainers, because I was seeing, just like me and you've been talking about in our own industry, I was seeing a lot of trainers and fitness professionals, business owners who were burned out, they were stressed, they didn't know how to create a business, because we're not taught that. We, you know, we go to school, we get our certifications, whatever it is, and you learn about exercise. Fine and dandy, but what happens when it's go time, when it's business time, you know? So I then took a lot of time studying not just our industry, but even outside of our industry, like we're looking at what makes a great business, what makes somebody be able to enjoy their time and do these different types of things and create, you know, creation's a big word for me. And so now I've created some products and do some more business coaching type things, and that's freed up my time to be work more on my own terms. That's really important for me, to be able to work on my own terms. And I've been very, again, intentional about it. I've been intentional about creating that, but now created systems and business models that help me to leverage my time and do more of what I want to do, you know.
Well, when you say you're helping people, I had a very interesting conversation with a client last night, and it reminded me of something that I already knew, and clearly you know this as well, but when we get out of high school, I mean, I don't know what they're teaching in high school now, but we weren't even taught how to operate a checking account. I mean, we had no accounting, we had no business. Yeah, we knew a little bit about Voltaire, but, you know, we learned typing and, you know, now, of course, new computers. But, you know, practical business applications are not taught, to my knowledge, in high school. And you almost need to go to a business school or, you know, back to college. And even colleges, I think, are not really, unless you're getting an MBA, are really not teaching you about business. So, you know, this gentleman said to me last night, well, you know, we weren't taught this. I have this, I'm an idea guy. I've got these great ideas I want to share. I want to impact other people's lives. I didn't even know I needed a business license. Well, because he had a brick and mortar business, you know, when he started it out, he needed to go through all the, you know, the hoops, and then you have to set up your C Corp or whatever it is that you're going to do. And, you know, there's just so many things that, you know, as a fitness trainer, you go, well, I'm going to train people. They're going to pay me, and I get to put gas in the car. Woohoo! It's not how it works.
You're right.
I see this in industry after industry. You know, my industry, virtual assistants, well, you know, I'm billing people for 5 hours. Well, you're not on a retainer. How do you budget? How do you know what your budget is? Exactly what you were saying earlier. So there's so many aspects of setting up a business. It's not just I've got this great business that I'm going to help other people. You have to take care of all of the infrastructure and the architecture or your business will fail.
Yes. Yes. A lot
and
of
you
time
teach people how...
Yeah.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, sorry. As I said, there's a lot of time to be spent on systemizing a business. What are your systems?
Right. And and that's what I heard you say earlier. So when you're working with fitness industry professionals or people who are well on their way to be professionals, how do you counsel them? Do you just start with the whole business model? Are you teaching them, you know, the benefit of your vast experience? What are you talking with them about?
Yeah, I first like to understand where they're struggling. And,
yeah.
You know, I find out where they're struggling because then I can start to find solutions. And anytime I work with anybody, I like to get I ask a lot of questions, get a lot of information, because obviously then I can be more targeted with, our advice and how what our next steps are going to be and whatnot. And then there's usually common themes, and this is actually, you know, across any business per se, any industry. And a lot of us are just busy doing stuff. We're not specifically targeting what we should be working on. So usually an opening exercise I'll do with somebody is have them write down all the tasks and things that they do in one day. So they might write down a list of 15 things that they do every day. And then I have them circle the top 20% that bring them the most income as well as the most passion. So they circle 2 to 3 things usually. And then I have them circle the bottom 20%, things that they just hate doing, don't do any good for them. They circle those things, and we eliminate the bottom two right away. And then the middle part there is the stuff that we look to create systems for. So maybe it's something that just costs you time. You need to do it. You don't particularly enjoy it. How can we make the process simpler? And maybe it's working with someone like you, working with a virtual assistant or delegating the task or creating a streamlined system and make this process easier. And then I really like to have them focus on that top 20% that brings them joy and happiness. Because when we play there, we're going to have more obviously positive outcome. We're going to stay involved longer. We'll avoid burnout. Because, as humans, and this is just kind of basic human psychology, is we tend to avoid pain. It's just obvious. So if we're doing something, either consciously or subconsciously, we're going to find a way to get away from it if we don't enjoy doing it. So if even subconsciously, if you're doing all these things at your work that you don't enjoy doing, it's just tasks, it's paying the bills, if it's all this junk you just find yourself doing, and subconsciously, honestly, at some point, your body's going to have to shift and it's going to go, I have to get out of here. We have to move from this. We have to do something else. And that's where you stem from. You know, and a lot of great people leave, you know, our industry and other industries because of that same reason.
Because they just didn't have systems set up that would protect them and allow them to do what they're really passionate about.
Yeah, they haven't spent enough time working on their business. We've all heard that, work on your business. And it kills me, but I see it all the time. Well, you know, I'll go to a workshop or I'll host a workshop, whatever it is, and these people get fired up and they're excited and they're ready to go make changes. They've got, you know, success strategies in their hand, and they go back and they just go right back to doing. They take all that passion and put it right back into maybe it's their personal training session or right back into their business just working or whatever it is. Rather than stepping away, I'm like, man, take a couple days and take that passion work on your business. Just see what happens, you know. And the second part of, you know, my personal journey was I told you I took Thursdays off. The next step was to take Tuesdays off and work solely on my business. It was solely stemmed on creation. And that one day a week where I did that now led into the majority of my business, which is more coaching, helping people, you know, whatever the needs are per se. But that's important to work on our businesses. We really, really have to do that.
Well, you know, I have to give kudos to you because I don't even pretend to be a recovering workaholic. I'm a straight running workaholic. And I get that. I have finally come to grips with it. But I remember a conversation I had with you, oh gosh, last year sometime?
Yeah.
And you were telling me that, you know, because I work 7 days a week. It's not work. And, you know, I remember telling you, well, it's like Dolly Parton says, if you do what you love, you're not working. And whether it was Shakespeare who said it first or Dolly Parton, it's still how I live my life. And I remember you telling me that. And I remember thinking, well, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
How does he do it? How am I going to do it? So I deliberately, because I'm always available to my clients, I mean, you know Todd Durkin, I've been on the phone with him at 11 at night before. you know, sure. I try to always be there when my clients, you know, if there's a real need, I'll be there. And I said, I am going to take Troy's advice. He didn't mean to give me advice. He was just sharing a story, but he gave me an idea. And I am going to absolutely refuse to step foot in my office on Sunday. Now, my office is in my home. That's hard to do. So I employed a very simple strategy. I closed the darn door. I never closed that door. But now that door is closed on Sunday, and I don't go in it. I don't go in. I don't look at emails. My cell phone is shut off. In fact, I put it in my car. So I can't attempt it. It has its own room. It's called a vehicle. So, you know, I have made it. I have taken some very deliberate and physical steps to prevent me from working on Sunday. So now, and there may be the occasional time where I just have to. I may be under a tremendous deadline. There may be something coming up that you know, just cannot be avoided. But for the most part, I have what I call the Troy principle in play. Don't work on Sunday. And now, so I try to work in the yard, which I enjoy doing. You know, I may be knocking cobwebs off of my very tall ceiling. I may turn into a couch potato and watch a marathon of NCIS, which I just discovered. These are things that until I spoke with you, I didn't do. I didn't. It just didn't occur to me to not go, 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 go all the time. So thank you. I think you saved my sanity.
Oh, well, I'm glad to hear that. And you know, it makes me happy to hear that. And you know, one of the key things you said there was you were intentional about it. You know, you just decided,
I had
okay,
to be.
Open the door, right? You know, I'm throwing the phone
close
here.
It.
Turn it off, right?
Mm-hmm. And, yeah, exactly. And now
so
I'm trying
important.
To expand that into Saturday. Now, Monday through Friday, it's in my industry, it's difficult to, you know, not be available on those days. But my clients have become accustomed to me being available on Saturday and Sunday, or at least, you know, by email. And I'm trying to wean both them and me away from that. But now I'm trying to expand it. And I haven't gotten there, and that's why I'm using the word trying. I'm trying to expand it to where Saturday, well, I still have that urge to work, but it's only on my stuff. Me, period. My business. Nobody else's, just mine.
Yeah.
Again, the Troy principle. I'm working into it. I'm not quite there. But.
No, you got to have those boundaries. And I mean, there's a time where I, you know, like you said, in our industry, you get up and you're working with the client 5 a.m., 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be off and I'd be running business. I'd come home at 7:30 at night. I'd literally eat and go sit at my computer and then work on my computer till I was ready to fall asleep, you know, and I just repeated this cycle over and over. And now it's, I mean, very different. And again, it's been intentional. I have boundaries, and I'm not saying these are the right boundaries for you or for anybody else, but, you know, my phone at 5 o'clock now is shut off. I don't check emails after 5 o'clock. You know, there might be one night a week maybe where I do that, and that's it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more, but I'm also very, when I'm on something, you know, I schedule out my email times, I schedule out my phone times, kind of like you do, you know. I have certain times where I really can focus in on something. I'm very productive in those hours. And in the other hours, I need to focus on other types of things, you know. Maybe it's like after 5 when I can start reading to educate myself so I become more productive at what I do, you know. And if I didn't, everything would just blend together and just kind of start meshing. And
Well, I have found, and it sounds like you have too, that you've identified when you're high energy and when your mind is at peak.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very high energy in the morning. Towards the afternoon, I'm like, oh, my goodness. But then about 7, 8 o'clock at night, I'm right back at it. It's like I woke up. And I will go from 7 o'clock at night to 11:30 and have to force myself to go to bed. So it took me a while to identify those patterns, but now that I know they're there, I know when I can, you know, hammer out a ton of work. I also know when I need to just go outside and watch a squirrel.
Yes, yes. Yeah, the simple things that charge your life. And sometimes, you know, what I'll do too is like today, I woke up today and I was feeling a little bit, you know, like, gosh, I've got these things that are done. I got to get this done. And I knew by about noon today, I'm going to need to step out. So at noon, I scheduled some out time to go for a little walk, a little jog out here. I'll spend an hour and a half on that. I'll come back in, I'll be recharged, and then I can focus back to what I need to get done, you know.
Right.
But just instead, I'm like, you know what, Troy, you need to just get out today. You need to spend a little time outdoors, whatever it is, you know.
I did the same thing. I realized that I have an order at Walmart. I ordered some yard stuff. I forgot to go get it. So I'm going to take some time this afternoon. I'm going to go to Walmart, and I'm going to pick up my hose caddies. I will be out the yard going, ooh, pretty. I just need to be looking forward to it. And I hate going to Walmart, so you know how bad I need some time off.
Yes, there you go.
So, you know, there's that trade-off. So, Troy, if people in the fitness industry or honestly any other industry want to talk to you about creating systems, because it doesn't sound to me like your systems are just mandatory for the fitness industry. I mean, you're talking business as far as I'm concerned. Are you able to help other people who may not necessarily be in the fitness industry but need that structure, need those ideas, need those systems?
100%.
Or are you basically focusing on the fitness industry right now?
You know what's funny? As you talk, my focus for the last few years, as far as coaching wise, has been in the fitness industry. And I just had this conversation a month ago, and I realized that I'm starting to attract now other people from different industries because business principles are pretty much the same across the board. Yeah. There's basic common principles that we all need to realize and know. And like we've been talking about, certain things that the entrepreneur does, you know, or will come across in their life. And those are things that I feel comfortable sharing with people. I enjoy mm-hmm. coaching them on. But I will be making more of a shift to, per se, target that crowd, the overall business crowd. But
right.
I've already got a couple of clients that I work with doing that. And absolutely, I would love to work with anybody that needs some tips or some ideas or just wants to talk like we've been talking about, getting back to the basics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, absolutely open to doing that.
I thought maybe you were because what you're describing, I mean, you helped me in my business, and we were poles apart business-wise. But, I mean, I took some information away from you that just really shifted how I do some business. One of the things that I am noticing, and I think we've talked about this before, is that there are ever-increasing numbers of people who are going, they're looking towards entrepreneurship. Thank God. Mm-hmm. Because that's what's going to save America, I believe. But here's the thing. A lot of people are either leaving, you know, their J-O-B, their job, for whatever reason. They're downsized, or maybe, you know, they've lost their job because of attrition, who knows, or they just flat got fired. It happens.
Yeah.
And most people these days, from my observation, is a lot of people have side jobs, and they're not jobs. They're like you. I'm a really good trainer. I'm a nurse during the day. But, you know, I'm training clients at night. Or, you know, we all multifunction. You know, I know very few people that just have one job and they're not doing anything else. So a lot of these people are taking that side job, let's just call it that for ease of use, and or that passion or that hobby, and they're now saying, you know what, I am going to do something with this. This is what I love. This is what... where I feel of use to my community. This is where I feel like I'm sharing my skills and my passion and my intuition and, you know, my life experiences, my knowledge. I'm a resource. I want to become a resource. And the principles that you're talking about in your business can certainly help people that are now looking to the internet largely to take those passions and those interests and share them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, I realized in my own career that, impacting, for me it's very important to impact as many people as I can on a deep, deep level. And, you know, when I was just training clients, it was great. I was impacting that one person and, you know, never say enough about that. But my personal growth began to grow into, wow, if I can help other business owners who help 50 people or have 10 employees or maybe it's just one person and they want to impact more people, that's going to allow me to fulfill my purpose more and my mission more is to impact, you know, as many lives on a deep enough level. So, per se, it's been these other leaders or entrepreneurs, you know, or people who are looking to create that in their life, I've been able to help them they become the best they can be for all the people they work with. And I want to see that. I don't want to see another great talent, a great passion, a great person get burned out and leave and go, just hide behind a desk somewhere or whatever it is.
I
want to see them use it. I want to see them use their spirit and go out and create and interact. And that's very important to me. I believe very strongly in that as well.
I know. And you're so right. And that's why I'm wondering about your business systems, whether they were just for fitness professionals. And I had a sense that maybe you were, you know, shifting towards a more and I don't want to use the term generic, but a more what would you put there instead of generic? A wider approach, perhaps.
Yeah, more of a wider approach. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
You know, it must be showing through in my intentions, because my intention really is within a 5-year period to be a full blown business coach, entrepreneur who helps other entrepreneurs, and like a life, I don't know if life coach is the right word, but getting people back to principles throughout the whole concept. Because I think with today's just fast paced, sit down, like you watched The Scroll this morning, but if you sit down and watch people, and you see how fast they are, and they're going here and there, and they're racing. Slow down, you know, and I really want to help people get back to that, and businesses get back to those principles. Because when you get back to that as an individual as well as an organization, you remember the importance of customer service, of helping people, extending the conversation, engaging in conversation. That's what's going to create a great business. So much is being put on. Right? So much is, I got to market now, I got to social media, I got all these things. While that's important, it's important that we don't forget the core principles. So that, yes, is going to be my evolution, I believe. And, I believe that my products and programs are going to be across the board. I'm working on one right now that's going to be really cool, that is going to help people. We hear a lot of people say, you know, I want to do this, I'd like to do that, I wish I could do that. But the person that makes the true change and difference is the person that says, I must do this.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm not going to think about it. I'm doing it. Yep.
I'm doing it. I must create this business. Whatever it is. So I'm creating a program that's really going to help people make that shift, that must, and then have the tools and the steps to help them achieve that. But it's in the works right now, but I think that'll be part of that growth as well, you know, where I can sit down with, a CEO or a business owner, a small business owner, or, maybe it's someone, like I said, is just looking to lose 20, 30, 50 pounds or whatever it is, help them make that shift to the next level.
Right. Well, and I can't recall if we've talked about this before, but in my industry, you know, I have two industries. For those of you who are listening, I'm a web developer and a virtual assistant. I own two small companies that ran off and got married, so they're kind of one company now.
Sure.
But
yeah.
In my industries, people tend to be fairly sedentary. And one thing that I've been talking about to people that I coach or mentor or who are in my sphere of influence is you have to be fit. You cannot sit at your desk all day long. And you have to get up. You have to move. Put a rebounder in your office, if nothing else. You know, get the little blow-up ball, whatever you call it. I have one of each. I have a rebounder and I have the ball. And when I just can't stand it anymore, when my back is hurting, I'm on that rebounder. You know, I put on some music. I'm bouncing around like a little 5-year-old. I have a great time.
Nice.
Yeah, but you have to be fit. And this is for, you know, we're a sedentary society, I think. And the more and more we move towards the Internet, I really think that some programs could be crafted, tailored to fit that, you know, my industry and other industries. Are, you know, we've got our headphones on. We're peering at multiple monitors. You know, there needs to be that balance between work and health. So I'm giving you some ideas.
As you were saying that, I was thinking, like, You're right, man. There sure is a need, and I think part of my just calling in life has been to do that too. Has been to help people out. Obviously, you know, being in the fitness industry for 13 years, you know, I believe very strongly in the importance of exercise, and that's one of the key pillars of any healthy person. And when I talk about health, I don't mean just physically. It's all encompassing, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, all that. You have to have all those pillars, or the house will fall down. At some point, something will break, you know.
You're right. And when you're sitting too long, and this is a scientific fact, you, and I can't cite the study, I can't cite the exact minutes that this takes, but what happens, and y'all who are listening, try this yourself. Pay attention when you are sitting down in front of your computer or you're reading a book or you're watching TV where you're just sitting, and you might be concentrating mightily, but you're sitting, you're not moving. And your brain is literally going to stop functioning after about 15 minutes. You're going to glaze over. You're going to look at the same sentence that you just typed 4 different times and wonder why you're not moving forward. Get up and walk around. I get up constantly during the day. because I'm able now to recognize when my brain just kind of switched off.
Mm-hmm.
And it may be 15, 20 minutes. So how I operate, Troy, is I do my segment intending. I segment my time in 15-minute intervals. You know, for 15 minutes, I am going to work on this particular website. I am going to do this page. I'm going to install this plugin. And at the end of that 15, maybe 20 minutes, I can see that my brain just went, I'm gone. I get up.
Wow.
I go get a drink of water. I pat a cat. 2 minutes later, I'm back. I'm refreshed, and my brain is functioning again.
I like
that. Have you noticed that?
Yeah, I have. I noticed that myself. And, you know, I do spend more time in my home office now, obviously, especially with a lot more coaching and the product development now, stuff like that. And I've had to be very intentional in that area as well. It
mm-hmm.
may seem silly. My wife thinks it's silly, but I have, like, this little toy basketball that I go out and I throw it against the wall, and I just go out in our living room and I throw it around. But I think it's like you said, it's, I guess, subconsciously more than consciously.
Your body's telling you. Your brain
it's
is telling you.
Yeah.
Get up and move.
Go move.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly right.
Me, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, it definitely helps, that's for sure.
It does. I know my husband was, his company shut down and he was home for about 6 weeks while they formed another company. And he looked at me one day and he said, I didn't know you moved around this much during the day, because he knows that I work all the time. And, you know, my smart aleck answer was, well, who do you think cleans the house and has dinner on the table when you get home?
All right.
But, yeah, which was kind of smart aleck. Yeah, probably shouldn't have said it like that. But you do. As, you know, once you understand that as an entrepreneur, you need to pay attention to how your brain is functioning and set those intentions. Then listen, you know, when you're glazing over, I'm in the middle of a web build, and I haven't moved in 5 minutes, nothing has happened on that screen in five minutes, my brain shut down. I might be thinking, I might be worrying, I might be kicking myself in the head, but my brain's not working.
Yeah.
So get up, move around, go load the dishwasher, throw in a load of laundry, you know, do whatever it is that you need to do. Your house is going to be immaculate, and you're getting a lot of work done.
There you go.
So that's just Denise's tip of the day. Yeah.
Yep, there you go. I like it. Very cool.
Well, Troy, where can people find you if they want to chat with you? I know you've got some great programs. Where can people find you on the Internet?
Yeah, my home base is troyfontana.com. There's more information about me there. My phone number is on there. It's an 888 number. If you ever want to chat or just, you know, inquire via email, my email is troy@troyfontana.com, troy@troyfontana.com. And then me and you just finished a project together, and the website is thefitnessbusinessblueprint.com. And they can see, you know, what the product looks like and stuff like that, too, there.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, describe that product, because we've been talking a lot about how to help other people. Can you describe that product for our listeners very quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is, you know, same concept in business. You know, I always say you start with point A, and that's you, and then the end point, maybe that Z down there, is what you're looking to create when you get into business. And it's most people's happiness, time freedom, money freedom, those types of things. But to get there, you have to travel a timeline. And there's a lot of key steps that you have to have in place. And you can do that by trial and error. And if you do, it's probably going to cost you a lot of time, money, pain, suffering, all those types of things.
Frustration,
you know. And there can be valuable lessons learned in that, but I like to minimize those for people. And so I created a product that actually walks people through those entire steps. And I even do 3 months of coaching with them. We do 30-minute power calls every 2 weeks to make sure they're on the right pace and moving along the project. But it's geared more towards the fitness industry. Like we talked about, I'll be doing more of that for overall businesses in the future, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, that's at thefitnessbusinessblueprint.com. They can check it out.
Right. Yeah, we just put that up yesterday, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah. That website, yeah. Hey. There's still a little bit of tweaking. It's not quite perfect yet, but it's 99.
Yep.
We'll get it done. But one of the things that I wanted to ask you is, when people come to you and say, listen, I've got this great idea, I need to do this, but I have a timeline. How do you advise people? I've got a timeline. I have to get this done by, let's say June. You know, I've had VAs come to me and say, listen, my husband said I could try this for 3 months, and I have to make this work in 3 months. My stomach starts hurting when I hear that. It's like you just put yourself under such pressure, you don't even know where you're going. Are you sure this is the right fit for you? How do you advise people that come to you with a, you know, just a hard wall? You know, I'm going to hit this wall if you don't help me.
Yeah, yeah. The first thing, and it depends on the scenario, but for the most part, I mean, it's very important that we understand ourselves first and foremost, you know. Like you gave an example, maybe someone wants to start, hey, 3 minutes, my husband's going to let me do this, I got to get this business up and running. You know, it's really important that we understand why, what's the goal behind this, is this the right thing for you, you know, and get really deep on that. And I flat out have called people out, and you can, you know, if you ever talk with some people I've coached with, they'll tell you, like, sometimes I've told them, you know, they want to do this, and I flat out said to them, hey, that's not going to work for you. I don't want you, you're not ready yet. And just call them out, you're not ready yet. Go back to the drawing board, and I want you to answer these questions for me, you know. And they'll come back, and they'll go, wow, you're right, you know. Maybe this is more what I should be doing. I'm like, there you go. That sounds like you. Yeah. That's going to fit. There's your passion.
I've done the same thing. I have talked people out of training with me because it really, the VA industry, that's where I want to go. That's, I hear you can make a lot of money there. And my hackles go up. It's like, you either are passionate about helping people and you have the skill set or willing to learn the skill set, or this is not for you. And I've talked people out of it. So you need to maybe look at something different.
Sure. It's so true. And it's funny, even in the personal training field, and like I said, I do very little of that nowadays, but I used to do just, you know, a lot more training with clients. I got to the point where I started just not accepting people. I get people and I put them through like an interviewing or screening process, and it was kind of like what we talked about earlier. They're still in the want-to phase, like, oh, you know, I want to do this. I figure they could throw some money at me and I could help them, and, you know, they won't be accountable through it. They'll still do what they want, and hopefully they'll get their goal. And I'd realize that and said, no, you're not ready yet, you know. Come back to me when you're ready, you know. And,
exactly.
It's important. It's important. It's only being true to ourselves, to them, you know.
Well, and not only that, and for anybody who is listening to this now or will download it in the future, there's nothing wrong with firing clients. I can't stress that enough. If it's not a good fit, if their goals are not really consistent with what you're trying to help them with, cut them loose. You know, let them go to somebody else. It does a couple of things. Number one, it frees up your time for somebody who is absolutely passionate and excited about working with you. Number two, it allows you to protect yourself from a really unhappy client because they will badmouth you. They will drag your business down. Cut them loose. You don't need the money that bad. Trust me on this. Cut them loose. Let them go somewhere else. You know.
And I'd even say the same is true with employees. Same principles apply. You know, anybody's out there working with employees, that employees, same thing. So they'll be better off working with somebody else, you know, and they will drag
let them
you down.
Go. That's exactly right. Well, tell people one more time where they can find you on the internet.
Yeah, website troyfontana.com. And if you'd like to email me, it's troy@troyfontana.com. And I'll get back to you right away. We'll chat and go from there.
Okay. Now, is there anything here that I missed? Is there any topics that you would like to quickly cover?
Oh, no, I don't think so, Denise. I think this has been great. And I'm real glad we were able to talk about some of the true principles. It's easy to, you know, get chatting, and especially with people like us, you know, we can go right to business real easy. We enjoy talking about that. Right, you know, but it's important, man. It really is that we slow down, we connect, we get those core principles involved. Then we can go have conversation about business or whatever it is, you know. So I think
exactly.
Covered it.
And business comes from your core principles. I think what a lot of people are not really grasping yet about working as an entrepreneur online, which so many of us do now, because we have that broad reach. We have that, you know, we have social media marketing that is available to us. I think they don't really understand that it is so easy if you do it properly and if you work from the heart and you share, you become a resource, quite literally become a resource. People will find you. And what I'd like to talk about really quickly, you had touched on social media marketing. My concept of social media marketing is not so much as it's marketing, so I tend to take that word out of it. It's social media can be used for relationship marketing. So we're creating relationships. We're creating that kind of buzz about what it is that we're doing. We're becoming a resource on Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter. You know, we're offering up information about what we do, how we can help you. And if you want to talk with us, we're there. If you don't, learn from us. We're happy to help. So I think that that's a huge component in what you're doing and what I'm doing these days is creating those relationships online so people know, like, and trust you. So it's not just about get out there, hard sell. That will turn people off so quickly, I can't even tell you.
You're right. It's connection and engaging in conversation. It's a virtual handshake, you know, and then engaging in conversation is what it is.
Absolutely.
You know?
And, you know, being of assistance to other people, serving your community, whether that community is from here to Calgary, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But be of service to your community. Excellent. Well, I feel like I pulled a lot of information out of you that you kind of, you maybe weren't expecting for me to ask about.
That's great, Denise. Thank you.
I wasn't expecting it either. To be honest with you, because I know you and because I've spoken with you before, I didn't even do a show outline. I figured that it would be just a lot happier conversation if we just kind of took it down the direction we wanted to, and I'm glad we did, because now I know that, you know, you're putting together programs for entrepreneurs in general, which I think is fabulous, because I've seen your programs, and I think that's a terrific idea.
Well, thank you, Denise. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. It's been great.
Oh, you're welcome.
Really, always a joy talking with you and chatting with you, and you're an inspiration to me as well as others as well, so I want you to know that.
Well, thank you. That is so kind of you. I'll think about that on my way to Walmart when I'm smiling.
That's right, man.
That was nice. Well, Troy, thank you so much for being with me here today. I really appreciate it. You've got a busy schedule, and I really appreciate you sharing your business principles and your passion and your systems with our listeners. And anybody who wants to find Troy can find him at troyfontana.com. And this has been a terrific conversation. I'd like to get you back again one day soon, and we'll chat about that. And this is Denise. Thank you. This is Denise Griffiths and Troy Fontana wishing you a wonderful weekend, and I will see you next week. Thank you, everybody, and thank you, Troy.
All right, you bet. Take care, guys.
Okay, bye-bye.